Love Talk Radio.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind and know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
Man.
welcome you to the Love Channel. This is Ananda of Love. And I choose to call myself the Love Channel now. It used to be a radio station, but now I feel like I've initiated myself to a higher state of love. And I'm calling myself the Love Channel because I really feel that's the only objective I have in this present moment experience. And I'm really excited about tonight because I don't usually get any kind of a preempt to what's going to happen. I usually just let it flow, but tonight I really got a lot of beautiful gifts this week, regarding the show that I would do tonight. And I really feel blessed about it because I really think that it's showing me that I've come into a full understanding of what I've come to teach. And I always say that the show here tonight is me speaking out loud and listening out loud, because really I'm just a channel for that which wants to make itself known through me. And as I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this big mirror that's sitting on the left of me on my desk, which is really cool because Michael, in his beautiful song, Man in the Mirror, is really speaking about what I've come to realize for the last 20 years of my life in this present moment experience I call my life. And it's all about the mirroring, and it's all about seeing everything as I am. I am is my experience of the day all the time. Anyway, so what I wanted to talk about tonight was about the concept that I wrote about. I guess it was about in 2008 when I made a decision not to be in the relationship that I was in. It was done. And I decided to just stay focused on what I really felt I needed to be, which was really in love with me. And I came to this concept, and it was called, Who Are You Sleeping With? I thought it was really cool because the reality I've always come to know when I had this awareness through the awakening in 1994 was that I really was seeing the fruits of my own tone or my own feeling tone or my own understanding or belief system, how pictured. And, you know, again, a lot of people in my perceptual reality didn't get it. They were saying, but you don't understand, Ananda. You always talk about everything as if it's just you, but in reality, there are others. And, you know, then I had that beautiful moment with my lover where he said to me, there are no others. And to me, that was the best gift that anyone had given me because it was validating when I came to realize. So I always tell people, you know, the person that you wake up with in the morning, the body that you wake up with in the morning is really the perfect representative of what you feel about yourself. And if that body that you wear, called the physical body I am, is in pain, there's a chance that there's some kind of a belief system in you that's not congruent with what you really want, or what you really feel truly about love and yourself and relationships. And it's really beautiful because when you really understand that everything is truly an outpicturing of what you feel about yourself, you could start making changes, which is what Michael was talking about in that song. MJ was so cool. And I do understand why he had to go the route he went, because when you're really in that high understanding and that high acceptance of the knowledge that wants to be made through known through you, it gets really freaky sometimes because you really feel alone in what you're receiving. And when you receive it and share it, it's not well received by those aspects of you that are still in the pattern or the matrix of fear or the pattern that they were taught was a belief system that they sustained all their life. And now you're telling them that you have a choice to choose again, that you could truly change your life. So Michael was really probably most of the time very disoriented. And you know, I feel that a lot. I feel like I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And I really mean that in the highest respect for this beautiful experience we call the 3D world, because in truth, it's very hard to sustain a spirit that is illuminated in the higher knowing. And again, I always say higher than better or lesser. It's just a state of knowing that you can truly change anything in your perceptual reality simply by choosing to do so. And what I shared earlier today, which I thought was really cool, was that, you know, we think that the thought and the consciousness in being in the now is the maker of change, when in truth it's not. Because really the conscious mind is just a viewfinder. All it does is establish ourselves with a vantage point. And when we establish ourselves at that vantage point, we will see the same old, same old. It may look a little different. The man may be a little different. The tree is a different color, different height. Maybe it's a different variety. But in reality, we're just changing our vantage point. Our perspective is just slightly shifting to see things that we feel we should see, but maybe with a different color, a different body shape, a different aura, so to speak. The only way to really change the circumstances is to fully assimilate the state of change within our body, mind, and spirit. And so what I came to share this night was, you know, the concept of who am I sleeping with? Who are we sleeping with? And I wrote this in 2008. I want to share it because I think it's really profound. Then we'll elaborate. And there are callers, and please bear with me. I'd love to hear you. I want to speak with you. I know Lydia is one of the callers that I'd love to have be a partner on this show. She's an angel. And whoever else is calling, please bear with me because I really feel what's coming through is really meant to come through for all of us. So this little sharing that I wrote in 2008 is really profound. And just allow yourself just to be still for a moment and allow yourself to just feel what wants to come through us tonight through this beautiful sharing. And it started with who are we sleeping with? And then I say, do you ever wonder what the body you're sleeping with represents? I mean, really, if our world is simply a mirror for what we are feeling and thinking about within our very own being, then what is the body we're sleeping with and waking with representing for us? And I want to elaborate on all this, but I'm going to just run through it really quick. By body, I mean you and your world, or what I call body of work. I always say my body and my body of work, which is my world. What does it represent to you? For example, let's say you're going through a trial separation in your marriage, and that is what you, and that is what you, oh, I'm sorry, that is that it was you the one that initiated it. Why did you initiate it? What feelings did you bring up in you? Did you bring up insecurity? Or maybe she brought up betrayal issues in you. Or another example might be an allergy that you had most of the day and gets severe when you're ready to sleep at night. If your world is in your mind and your mind determines what you see, then once again I ask you, who are you sleeping with? Let's say for the sake of awareness that betrayal is what she represents. And then we could say that you are sleeping with betrayal. And if you are sleeping with betrayal, and now that she is separate from you, that betrayal is too, is that what we're saying here? Can you see what I am saying? When one heals his mind of an issue, all that represents that issue leaves. Now, the truth of all of this is that love is all that is real anyway. But in this perceptual dream we call life, we have constructed ideas to place in the way of love's presence in our world, which is what A Course in Miracles states as block to love's awareness. So with that said, who are you sleeping with? Do you know? Perhaps now is the time to find out. If you don't like who you're sleeping with, then it's up to you to change your bed partner by going within and choosing only love as an option. Choose love. Love will change the body you sleep with. And once it does, you will sleep and wake a life where dreams do come true. And that's by Satchitananda in 2008. And why I brought this up today was because I really had the most amazing week with a few people that I've known. And they represented for me mirrors of what I've been teaching. And I want to elaborate on that tonight, because I really think that those that are listening will be blown away by what I've come to realize. And once we get this, now we truly can change our lives and the world that we live in. You know, everything in my perceptual reality is teaching me something about me, you know. And it starts with the body. So a friend of mine, who I love dearly, is struggling right now with an episode of what we call cancer. And I had an experience with him and his wife this last summer in July and August, and I shared it on the show. These two angels were really beautifully placed in my world to show me how to care for me. They were both representative of a mother and father for me, because they were very caring about the fact that I had come to New York and I wasn't eating. I was not feeling well. My physical digestion system was completely out of whack. And because of my life, I was having a hard time digesting anything as far as food or anything. And they were very concerned and they were nurturing me. And the woman had skin cancer. And she was going through chemotherapy. And even with all her struggling, as a Course in Miracles teacher, her and her husband are, I was watching this and saying there's something not correct in this equation, because I know that everything represents me. So the female representing me out pictured that I saw as a mother was showing me in me that there was something about me that was still bitter, that was still harboring cancerous ideas, unbeknownst to me. But if she didn't appear as she did, as this beautiful angel, I wouldn't have known that that was still evident or still living in my reality and not self-evident to me unless she came in. And so she came into my picture. And her husband was caretaking her in the most loving way. He was saying, I'm a Course in Miracles, and I understand that this woman of mine has this belief system called cancer, not realizing that he was sleeping with this aspect of himself. And I see this in A Course in Miracles community so often. And, you know, many times I've walked into scenarios where I was in these classes and I would see what was occurring and I'd make those aspects of me aware of it and they would be upset. How dare you say that? You know, and I would say, but you're just seeing an aspect of yourself. To deny it as you are by pretending that everything's okay is not true, because that is not okay. Because if it was okay, you wouldn't be sleeping with a cancer partner. You wouldn't be sleeping with an aspect of you that was suffering with chemotherapy. And so this was an ongoing thing for me, and I'm watching it from a perspective of one who knows that these are potential realities for me. Because if I see it outside of myself, it's just an unveiling of what's inside of myself. The mirror shows me clearly what I can't see if I just look at the body called Ananda. But since I'm only looking at that, and that's what we do as people, we look in the mirror, how's my makeup look, how's my tie look, how's my hair look, we don't see that in that mirror there's a lot more. So this aspect of me showing me me, and he's showing me, the male, the female aspect. And I'm sensing in him there's some kind of a struggle going on, that he's really not okay about his life circumstances. And he tends to lose his temper as he's interacting with this aspect of me. And I kind of approach him about it, and he gets annoyed, and he gets upset. And he says, you know what? I don't like what you're saying to me. This is not right. Where are you going with this? And now I just find out a week ago that this man was diagnosed with throat cancer and is suffering greatly with chemotherapy, and really coming to realize within himself what I guess is going on. Now, these two mirrors are potential realities for me. They're a predisposition within my own cellular structure. And if I don't get it, that I will be in the same condition as both. So that's just one scenario that I came to realize this week, and I thought it was profoundly beautiful. And I thank them both for playing their role. I applaud them. I bow to them. I bravo them, because I know that the two of them just appeared for me to show me what I can't see when I look in the mirror. I was sitting having coffee on Wednesday, which I don't really do often. I don't have coffee anymore, but I decided to do espresso, which is really cool. I loved it. I had two shots of espresso with, I don't know if you guys are into Starbucks whipped cream. I don't do milk products usually, but I just had a squirt of their whipped cream, and it was heaven on earth, these two little shots of espresso with my stevia and my little whipped cream. And I sat there, and who walked over but a little angel that I've come to know in my community, who's a fabulous makeup artist. As a matter of fact, when I did the Light Garden show years ago, she was one of the ones that showed up and did the henna beautiful henna work on people for nothing. She just came and donated her time to help my cause in the moment. And so she sat with me. She was happy to see me. And she said, Ananda, I'm really grateful because I don't really get to share with others what I've come to accept about myself, but you are here, thank you, and it gives me an opportunity to share. And she told me something that absolutely blew me away. She said that she was in love with a man who had, a young man in his 20s, who had melanoma, skin cancer. And her job, her work, is working with people. She works in the university, local university, on helping people with skin conditions. And as soon as she said that, I said, you understand that you're working on an aspect of you that you're in love with that has the male aspect, the initiator in you that has skin cancer. That's pretty interesting. Thank you for sharing that. That helps me to understand what I've come to realize a little bit better. And she said, better yet, I got another one for you. And she said that another man in her life said, she's totally caught up in as far as love and connection. He just showed up. She connected with him, and he was just diagnosed with the same condition. That two aspects of her, both male, that she fell in love with, both have skin cancer. And her life is about working on people's skin to make them feel better, look better. So for me, it was like, thank you, God. And I said to her, do you understand what's going on here? That it's you that has to heal the skin, the tough skinned you, the part of you that is so totally critical of your own skin, living in your own state of skinness, of bodiness. And she said, I really do understand that. I know what you're telling me. But I'm grateful to have met you because I didn't know that. So what I've been teaching on this love channel for, I guess it started in 2009 to begin with when I started doing the show, and I've been teaching this for the last 20 years. And as I say, Bruce Lipton, science, came into my life to show me that everything that came through me was accurate, because now science is saying in epigenetics, new science is saying that you can change your physical structure by changing your mind, by changing your feeling zone. So that's what I came to do tonight. I came to show everyone in my perceptual reality that they, in fact, have the power to change everything in their physical structure, calling the body I sleep with, the relationship I'm with, and then outward, the world I live in. Because my body and my body of work is all contingent upon me. What I think and feel about myself is made known in my perceptual reality, and so that I can be present all I want. But if I'm not present in total, pure wineskin, as I share all the time, the clean wineskin, I have to be completely free of every idea that I ever held as a reality. That's when change occurs. That's when the clean palette now can be given new design. But it cannot happen in present moment or any moment if I'm not completely receptive to change. So I can change my body and change my diet and be vegetarian and vegan, and I'm into raw foods now, and you know, nothing will change until I really become completely numb to any outside influence, to become completely innocent, completely naive, where I know nothing. Of course, the miracle is so clear. It says, teach me. Holy Spirit, I do not know. Teach me. Teach me. What am I to think, to feel, to do, to say, to be with? Who? Tell me where to go. I don't know. Be innocent like a child. And when I'm innocent like a child, I am given that which I need to experience for me to become fully actualized as the love I am. So these two examples for me were mind-boggling because I see the potential in my world of going in that direction if I stay on the course I am. My father is in the other room, and he is diabetic, and he has a pacemaker, and he has a hearing problem, and he has a visual problem. He can't see, he can't hear, he can't walk, and I'm on the other side of the house in my own little space saying that is my future if I do not choose again. The man that you're sleeping with, the alcoholic, the sex addict, the gambler, the whateverer, is absolutely mirroring for you what you cannot see within yourself. And you could change him, and you could leave him, but nothing will change unless you become purely innocent. And I mean that. I don't mean that you have to, you know, do something different, because that's bull. All you're doing is distracting. And the man that has the cancer now was showing me that. All the people in Course in Miracles, and there's many now, who has brain, in the community that I've been in years, who has a brain tumor. Who else has a brain tumor? Who has throat cancer? Who has, you know, all kinds of leukemias, blood diseases? And they're all saying it's all an illusion. It's not an illusion until I fully recognize that it is. Until I fully recognize that the only way to change the past is to become completely aware that what was doesn't serve me anymore. That what was is completely not congruent with what I am in truth, which is love. I have to acknowledge it before I can change it. Course in Miracles says once you change the course of that mindset, once you see where it's coming from, you can choose again. But until that point, you can't keep denying it. And that's been a hard one for me because doing the work that I've been doing and giving the love that I've been giving and staying in community settings where people were talking about disease and money issues and politics and me saying, oh my God, what is this? And all of it was absolutely aspect of myself that I couldn't recognize, that I was trained was the way to be. And that way to be could have been political arena, could have been the medical community. I mean, does anyone get what's going on with Obamacare? That we are being told that we have to buy into medicine, the medical community, that we have to buy stocks into all this medical corporation mindset. I don't even do doctors. I haven't done it for 20 years. What do I do? What do I do? I have to choose again. In my world, I have to be free to choose otherwise. You either believe that medicine's real or you don't. You either believe that doctors are real or they're not. You either believe that disease does exist or it doesn't. If you buy into 2% of disease, you're better off. You are then a recipient of that reality. You will receive the disease that you are so focused on not happening in your reality. But you believe in it, so it has to occur. I share this over and over again for me. I share that I understand on a very deep level that the teachings of Jesus Christ was the most pure. Because this aspect of me said to me, there is no other way but God. Just follow me. Follow me back to heaven now. Don't wait. Don't wait till after the body leaves, because the reality is the body never really leaves. The body is just an outer garment that the spirit I am is wearing. And you'll just change the body. You'll change the costumes. You'll change the physicality of being. But you, the spirit, will never leave. So buy into it now. I gave up my body for my brethren. I gave up my body on the cross for my brethren to show everyone that it's not about the body. And when we give up the body, what's left? The spirit. I am. The spirit I am assumes your reality. What spirit are you sleeping with? What mindset do you wake with in every moment? What do you feel about you? I am so in love. The love that I feel is beyond anything I could have ever dreamed of. And it's so apparently obvious in my reality because I don't suffer from disease. I don't live in the mindset that believes that doctors can cure me or that that can change me or that can give me anything. I know that I am it. As I assume that state of pure knowing that I am one with God, that I am one with the infinite field of potential, all I need do then is tap into that in every moment and just live like a child. I always think of the little concept of the Hansel and Gretel walking through humanity, the male and the female aspect giggling and venturing and adventuring into a reality where they know that it's all about the play. It's all about the joy of being. All this concept of locking down the government, that it's closed. What a joke. I've got to believe I've made it happen. Because in my world, there is no governing body. There is none. I am is my experience. What I assume I am, which is God realized that God is, I am, is everything. And I can shift any reality, not just some, not just one, every reality. So do I stay in that, perpetually reminding myself that I am, is my experience? Do I bring my father from the dead? Do I raise him from the dead? Most of the time I do because he doesn't seem to be in physical distress at all. He just watches his television. He loves the shows he watches. He's a Buddha. He never, ever talks about being with another. He just sits and enjoys his moment. And I can call it, well, he's got this ease. But in reality, he's living the life that he chooses to live with no interruptions at all. None. And that's my mirror right now. I'm seeing a male aspect of me just saying, I am okay. Let me be. Let me be. So anyway, that's what I really came to realize today. Tonight, this whole week has been absolutely divine. And I really feel that anyone who's here tonight gets this. It's not anything that I'm bringing forth that's different from what they've come to realize. That we are coming to understand together that God, or the infinite field, the universal mind, the infinite everything is available in every moment, and all I need do is know that. And that when I walk into a reality that I am the maker of it, I am truly the decider what will occur in every moment that I walk into that Starbucks or that, you know, Stuart, Florida, or in that universal world I call government, or, you know, international travel. I am is my experience, and it is relative. So what I assume I am will be made known to me all day long, and I will either accept it or reject it. And the truth of the matter is that everything is as I would have it be. And, you know, the problem that most aspects of the ones that I deal with have is that they can accept the good that they're making, but they can't accept the not good that they're making. But how and why would I cause that child to suffer? Or how and why would I choose that person to reject me? Or how and why would I be in foreclosure? But the fact of the matter is you can't be where you're not. So something about that child is of you. Something of that financial situation is of you. Something of that foreclosure is of you. And if you don't get it, well, maybe tonight you will. Maybe tonight you'll start realizing that everything that's in your reality you've asked to show up to show you something about you, to show you what you couldn't see before now. How about that? How about looking at your circumstances tonight and understanding that the physical body you wear is the first descendant of the mind and the feeling tone that you have? What does that body feel like to you? What is it showing you about you? And all right, let's go beyond that. Let's go with the house we live in. And let's go in the neighborhood we're in. And let's go in the relationship that we have that we call the one. Or that we have family members that are aspects of us. Or we have a condition that we can call diabetes. Or we can call it accident. Or we can call it poverty. Or we can call it whatever. What is those realities telling you about you? When we get this, when I got this, it changed everything. Because now I know I am acting in a way that perfectly represents what I see in my reality. And people talk about this all the time, but I've really never heard anyone really get down and dirty with it, where they say, come on now. You are the power. You are the master of your universe. What are you doing? Why are you receiving less than what you feel you deserve? Why are you putting up with less than you really feel you are? Because that aspect of you is performing perfectly for you, showing you exactly the way you feel about yourself. And if you don't like it, then why are you feeling so icky about yourself? Because you can't bring in something that isn't resonating with what you feel about yourself. If you want a full relationship, why are you settling for a half relationship? If you want to be rich, why are you settling for a job where you're struggling and hassling and hurting? When you are the master of your universe, when you are in fact the employer, the employed, and you are giving yourself less than what you feel you're worth, why are you doing a job you hate? Why are you in a relationship where you're being harassed and bullied? Why? Anyone? Anyone in the chat room want to add to that? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you projecting all your pain on someone else and saying it's them that's doing it to you and it's you that's doing it to you? And he's this and she's that. Everyone is angelic. Everyone is a messenger here to show me what I can't see about me. What I don't know, I can't change. What I can't see, I can't change. So this aspect of me is saying to me, I am here to show you the disdain that you feel for yourself. Come on, don't fight me. Go with it. Do some soul searching. Why do you have me on your stage? Why are you here showing me what I don't want to see? When I got it, when I really started seeing that everything was here for me, namaste. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ex-lover. Thank you, disease. Thank you, financial straits. Thank you, government that seems like they're hostile. Everything is here to show me what I feel about me. It's relative reality. I don't agree with what you agree with because my perceptual world is different from yours. But when you come on my stage and you get my attention, you are here just for me. Thank you. I didn't know that I felt that way about myself. Thank you, Cancer. I didn't know I harbored this fear and this guilt. Thank you. Thank you, body. I didn't realize that I was in such fear that I'm putting such weight on. Thank you for showing me that I was afraid to get close to anyone. Thank you, man, for rejecting me because I didn't know that I feared you coming too close to me, that love needs to be separate from me. Everything in perceptual reality is telling you what you feel about you. And this is the best gift that we can give because there's no doubt that it's showing us, I want to heal. Would you heal me? And you can't heal me with chemotherapy because that's bullshit. That's deadly. That kills cells. It doesn't enhance them. Bring me back to love. Bring me back to love. That's why there's instantaneous, miraculous healing without any meds, without any doctor, without any chemo, without any anything, because something happens in that moment that that body remembers that it's loved. I kiss my breasts every night. I tell them how much I love them. My mother died from breast cancer. She had a mastectomy. There could be nothing crueler than the physical body being mutilated in a woman the way it was mutilated in my mother, because she hated herself. She was taught that a woman cannot be safe in a female body. So I kiss my breath. I tell my breath that I adore them, that they are so beautiful, that I am so blessed to have them. And that is the way to help. The way to health is to honor that aspect of you that you are so afraid to bond with, that you're so afraid to love, that you're so afraid to have a relationship with. You gotta love it. You gotta love it back to health. David, I love you back to health this night. Suzanne, I love you back to health tonight. My little girl that I met in Barnes & Noble, I love you back to pureness of being who you are tonight. My dad, my teacher, thank you. Thank you for showing me that I need not another to be okay, that I need not another to be whole, that I need to just stay as I am in love, in pure love, knowing that in every moment I have nothing else to give or to receive but love. So beautiful. I'm going to open the lines for the callers and anybody in the chat room that wants to add anything or take from this. Again, I do one-on-one sessions. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to bring me back to the pure state of love. And working with another, I feel that I'm healing myself. So I'm honored to have that. I want to say again to the aspect of me that brought me back to life, I love you more than you could ever fathom, that you have become part of my cellular structure, and that every body in my body, every aspect of the cellular memory remembers love because of you. And there's nothing more divine than that. I have been so blessed in my life to come into complete union with love itself. And all I want to do is bring that into my world. And that's why I choose now to call myself the Love Channel. I am the Love Channel. I have no other purpose but to bring love to me and to my world. And I'm working really hard on me, so my world is got to be psyched, because everybody in my perceptual reality is going to live the effects of that which I've become as love. Okay, so I'm going to open this first line, and the number is 352. Hello. Hi. Did you want to talk? Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. Thank you for being here. I really feel blessed. If you do want to talk, I think there's like some kind of a button that you press, because I see that there's someone here that does want to talk. So please feel free to call back in, or to, you know, put a little question in the chat room or whatever you'd like to stay in the chat room. I'd love to hear it. And thank you again for being here. It means everything to me. Hello.
Hi, Amanda Love. This is Lydia. Good evening.
Hi, well, Lydia. Good morning, thank you for calling. Come talk. What do you want to say,
honey? Hi, everyone. I love everything that you bring on tonight to share with us. I myself have experienced so many things like that, from having from being out of relationships with myself when we're not aware of it. I mostly consider I've been out of relationship with myself when perhaps I was paying too much attention with who I was sleeping with outside of myself, you know, being in a relationship. And for me, it started one day when I walked away from everything, and including people that I love. It wasn't that I walked away. I just totally unplugged. Something told me I needed to do this. And I woke up one morning, and I've never been the same person since. And I'm aware of it when I wake up. I'm aware of the difference. There's a difference in my life. And it all came from decisions. Like you say, decisions, different choices that we make. When I go to bed, I'm always smiling. And it's not about walking away or anything. It's just that because I made so many different changes in my life, one came after the other after the other. And mind you, these were changes that about 10 years ago, I just, like a cat going to be taking a bath, I just put my claws in, and I didn't want to, and I wanted to, and I didn't want to, and I wanted to, and I struggled with it. And it was a struggle. But I knew that something had to be different, and sure enough, just by making that one simple change in my life, everything else has been so different. I'm aware that I sleep with myself, even when it was pointed out to me what the subject was going to be for the night. I kind of smiled because I sleep by myself. And the first thing that came to my mind is like, well, I'm happy I sleep by myself. But more than that is the awareness, the growth process is so tremendous that happens. But what does it mean to change? When we're in a position that we know we have to change and change something, it could be fear, it could be laziness, it could be uncomfortable, it could be what they call the comfort zone. Gee, it could be so many different things. And sometimes hearing it, and perhaps even hearing it from loved ones, it doesn't make a difference. Because unless we understand what it means to actually manifest a change, how do we go about making a change? How do we do that? And I think the important thing here tonight is also to find out how do we change when we want to so desperately change something in our lives. For me, I am vegan now for decades, but I still did not like salads. I did not grow up eating salads except for avocados. And if I went out to eat and one of those all-you-could-eat many decades back, I would fill up on everything but not the salads. And one day I became aware of it, that I was doing this. But I was just not a salad person. And I decided to change that. And how I went about it was that, you know how most people make their New Year's resolution? Well, I never did that. What I do is that it usually comes to me. It could be in October, November, sometime in November. In December, I realize New Year's is coming up. So I think of one thing in my life, one thing. Could be something simple, something hard, that I would like to no longer be a part of my life. It's usually something that I want to get rid of. And 1 year was a salad. I said, you know, by the time New Year's comes around, I'm going to make sure that salad is the first thing that I eat. And I turned salad into my meal with everything else on top. And that was a few decades ago. And now I'll go out and get myself those big pans of salad with all the mixed up and the kale. And I start throwing all the seeds on it, and I miss it when I don't have it. I only have a slight memory of what it was. So for me, change came when I actually decided to do it now, this very moment, this very second. It's like you get the thought, then you act. It tells you do it, you do it. When you put it in the back burner on the shelf, this and that and the other thing, the change, it's just something that we realize we can do, but we actually don't get to experience it. I have experienced so many wonderful things in my life only because I chose the exact precise moment that I thought of it. And I have to say I have not been wrong. I don't regret it. And the power that we start feeling is tremendous empowering. And I don't mean power over others. And not even power over ourselves. It's just a very comfortable position to find yourself in life when you know that even if you're shedding a tear over a sad situation in life, you know at some particular moment, oh, this could only last for as long as I want to see it this way. And just that awareness itself, it's almost like it puts it on pause, and now you're in a different frame of mind. And
that's
the more
beautiful.
You experience this, yes, thank you, the more you experience this, it becomes like a habit. It's like the more you're aware of it. And then it becomes all these little pieces of jewelry in your jewelry box of your memory of all the times it happens. And that's how you wake up in the morning with a smile. That's how you go to bed with a smile. In spite of all of it, and including in spite of yourself. And I feel so blessed in my life. And I'm one of these people that I try real hard at something, and I usually don't know what made it happen, because out of those five things, all five things, I know it's one of them. And it really doesn't matter. All I know is a collective. And when it's all said and done, I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, universe. I don't know what it is. I can't put a name to it, but that it happens, it happens. And we're not alone. We're definitely not alone. And thank you so much for this space, Ananda. Thank you so much.
Oh,
I love you so
you.
Much. I love coming on with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I feel the same way. You know, this week has been really interesting because I was supposed to go to a wedding, which I know you know of,
yes.
in Virginia to my cousin. And I'm so excited about what she represents to me, because she lost a husband who was the love of her life a few years ago. She has five kids, and she's close to my age. She had a full life, and about, I guess, in 2009, she went back to Port Washington, which is where she lived for a while, to see if she could find the man that she was, you know, in love with when she was a teenager. And sure enough, she went back, and she didn't see him then, but he heard through the grapevine that she was back, and he got in touch with her, and they're getting married on Saturday. So, I mean, to me, that's me. You know, that's my life. I mean, the Romeo and Juliet mindset that I really believe that the prince does appear. And, you know, she did a little website, and in the website she says that they spent one of the most, like, miraculous years, summers together, and then they lost sight of each other. And now
nice.
They're back. I mean, so to me, it's, like, so perfect. And so I was supposed to go, and something told me not. But then with my friend David getting the news and being in the hospital, I started feeling this sense of driving, because, you know, I did a lot of driving in July and August and spent most of the time alone. And I said, you know what, I'm too lonely to drive. And I was really happy that I was able to acknowledge that for myself. And I don't mean lonely in the sense that I know that I'm not, you know, lovable and the love body that I am. But I really felt like I don't want to do this. I don't want to go somewhere, because I know it's all just a trip anyway. It's all a mind game. And I just felt like, you know what, she knows I love her, you know, and we shared that, her and I. And I don't want to go. I want to stay where I am, feeling the love that I feel, and know that she knows I love her. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. And this is really a gift that I gave to myself, because I really felt I was being present with my own feelings of loneliness. And it's okay. You know, it's okay to feel lonely. You know, I am completely in love. I feel blissed out all the time. I feel like my body is constantly being stimulated by outside forces. And the truth of the matter is, it's all because of the love that I feel, that I have, that I know is in me. And so, you know, I just want to celebrate that. That's what I feel like. You know, I don't need another body to do that. And so with that in mind, I felt like I didn't have to travel to do that. You know, I just felt like she feels my love. Everyone that knows me knows my love. And it's me now that has to just be okay wherever I am. And not have to travel for anything or go anywhere to get anything or do anything to have something. All I have to do is be true to myself. And I think that ultimately that's what this show is all about tonight. It's about not compromising, about really understanding that if you believe anything, you need to stay true to your beliefs, because as you believe, so it is. But if you live in two different worlds and have one foot in heaven and one foot in perceptual hell, and think that that's life. It's not. I have to be true to my own ideals, to my own beliefs, to my own feelings about love. Relationship is not about compromise. Compromise gets one sick because one then thinks that they have to settle in order to be loved, you know? And that's how I feel right now. I feel like I feel really authentically in love with me because I know that I don't have to prove myself to another for them to feel my love anymore. Because it's only me that has to feel loved in order to see love, you know? So I really feel great about what happened. I mean, tonight would have been the night I would have been traveling 13 hours to go to this place, that time continuum where I think that there's a love relationship that's happening that's so beautiful. But that relationship's in me. My cousin and my husband are me. They're aspects of me that are coming together because of the love that I know that I have within myself. You know, I really believe that. I believe that every player on my stage is here to show me exactly where I am. And I feel, like I say all the time, but now, I mean, this week, the love that I feel is beyond anything that I can't. It's such a gift that I don't even feel any kind of an explanation about it. I can't even explain the love that I feel. And it is about me. It is about me loving me and respecting me and feeling so blessed to have come into this state of pure bliss, the Ananda I am. I really am Ananda. I really feel the bliss. And not to have anything really to substantiate it. I don't need, you know, the thing to have it and feel this way. I don't need circumstances to have it feel this way. I just,
you know, Ananda, that's why when we were talking about the trip and you felt that it wasn't the time for you, and I felt the same thing. I felt that, remember I said to you, I said, but I feel, because you said you had not seen your cousin in 30 years. And
yeah.
Although the wedding, it's a really nice thing, but I felt you're going in a day that she's leaving. They're not going to be there. And that your time to go is when they come back from the honeymoon. Well, not maybe immediately after, but sometime after, when both of them are there and you can really spend quality time with them. Because it's not about the long trip. It's about the 30-year distance you have to just see each other for a few hours at a party. If you're only going to do it once, do it with quality time. Do it another time.
Well, it really was. Yeah, and it really was. They weren't going away. I was going to actually stay at the hotel they were staying at. And that there was, you know, I was invited to all the dinners that were happening. But what I did do that I was never able to do was I was able to say to her, you've always been my favorite. You know how much I love you. And we didn't have that communication. And she said, you know what, when you used to come to my house in the summer, because I would always go to stay with them, with my two cousins, Lori and Denise, my Aunt Marie, who I absolutely adore, my father's sister. And I would come. And she said, we bonded. We bonded because I used to look so forward to sleeping in my room, you know. And we never shared that before. So we got to share that when I said I wasn't coming. And she's going to rest in that now. I'm resting in that I was able to express to my cousin, out of all my cousins, because I've got so many, but my dad's a very small family, but she was always the one that I felt I adored. She's younger. She's a little bit younger, and she's just so beautiful, and I just loved her, you know. And so that's why I really wanted to go, but I really felt like this is more important for me to understand it's not about doing anymore, that you don't have to do to prove your love, that you don't have to be a certain way to prove your love, that all you've got to do is just express it. And she got it, and immediately she responded with what she did, and I was like, oh, my God. So today I sent them their little gifts, and I felt great about that. That's going to be there for their wedding. And I said, you know what? She's going to have 100 friends that she's familiar with, that she's had in her life for the last 35 years, whatever, and she knows I love her, because I know I love her, well, I know I love me, so it's really beautiful, and, you know, I don't know why, again, the physicality of movement, of going, I don't know why I really didn't go, I did want to go with someone, and that was kind of,
well,
you know,
I was going to say to you, when you said that, I was going to say to you, you know, I'll drive up with you. I was going to offer. But what really came to me is that the quality time was more important. I also wanted to touch on something that you said about being authentic self, and perhaps tonight, you know, that's also the topic. Back in 1984, I was coming out of the pool, and I felt a chill in my body, you know, just cold, put the towel around. What I didn't know at the time, it was the beginning, it was later, was to be known as fibromyalgia. Back then, they didn't know what it was. But I seemed to be getting, like, sick, but never like the flu, but just like jointy, and just an overall feeling of weakness, difference in personality.
Right.
I started to change. Didn't know what it was. I started doing different things, this and that. Like I said, five different things. I don't know if any of it works, but I'm going to tell you what I do know absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, that throughout the years, still when there wasn't a name on it, I noticed that I would get a flare-up when I was about to do something that I felt that I had to do. Like maybe, you know, planning something, and I would have preferred to, like, stay at home and not go on. But, okay, so, like, kind of like what's happening to you, like, get in the car and go before you know it. And I love the road. But the things before you know it, I would feel like that cold sensation, achy pain. And it was too much of what they call a coincidence for me to say it was a coincidence. So I realized that my immune system would pretty much start suffering when I was having conflicting thoughts, where I'm going, where I want to be. Where I'm going, where I want to be. And I immediately stopped that. About the third to fourth time that I became aware that this was happening, I never did it again. And to this day, I have absolutely never again, I'm talking about decades now, symptoms of any, well, I don't get colds, fevers, nothing. No aches, no pains, nothing. And I attribute it completely to listening to myself, where I want to sit as compared to where I think that I should be sitting.
I can't tell you that this is absolutely what I've come to realize, and thank you for the statement of truth that you're a perfect testimony of what I've come to realize. You are not going to compromise. Compromise means I am settling for less than what I feel I deserve, and I will be sick because of it. So whenever there's conflict on any level, it's not right. That means that I'm resisting my good to appease you. And because you are just an aspect of me that's outpictured showing me my discordant energy, can you understand then that you could not be sick once you got that? Because you were being there fully for yourself. So that's what I say when you can't compromise. Relationships aren't about, okay, I'll do what you want. Because as soon as my friend did that with his wife, I could feel that there was a resentment so deep in him that it was apparent to me but not to him, but now it's apparent to him because it got out of control. We don't have to get to the point where we get fibromyalgia or we get cancer or we get an accident. We can get it right up front. It's no. That's it. And that's what I did with this. It's no. My friend said to me, this guy that I know in Barnesville, Larry, him and his wife, so don't feel guilty. I said, no. I made a decision for me. There's no guilt. And see, so that was, what you just shared was absolutely everything that I was saying, but in a way that it's tangible to the listeners. It's logical. Of Course in Miracles says once you identify it, it's done. You don't have to own it anymore. As soon as my friend knows what he knows in the hospital, no more chemotherapy. He said, I need hardly any because I know who I am. Okay. Now just cut it off. Because the fact of the matter is, if you're true to yourself, you do not allow yourself to be mutilated on any level. You know? And so, Lydia, I mean, that was absolutely divine. And the listeners, please, take that. Take that as a lifeboat or as a lifesaver if in any moment. Understand that when you're true to yourself and you say no, it's totally for your health. It's totally for your well-being.
And you know what the most amazing thing is, Ananda, that each and every one of us knows. We know.
Yeah.
We cancel it out.
Yeah.
We know what we prefer. We know what we like, and yet we cancel it out. That's why, for me, I had to completely unplug in order to be able to plug in.
That's it. And, you know, I share that about the, you know, the source of everything. You know, as soon as we plug into anything of this world, we're taking out of the full power source. You know, we're plugging into the full potential. And when I go into the doctor, into the disease, into the relationship, into the whatever, what I'm doing is saying, you're more powerful than it is. And I put all my power in you, and you take away my power, you take away my life, you take away my breath. And when in truth, we don't ever have to do that. We can just re-plug it into the source of all being, which is the only place I ever want to be. And it's ideal for me. It's perfect everything. We don't have to ever suffer. And if we're suffering, it's because we're not where we want to be, you know? And so why we change that? We go back to the present moment and reevaluate. Say, wait a second, what's right? Okay, that's it. And that's what I did. I said, this is, you know, all this is wonderful, but it's not right for me. So I got to come back to what's right for me. And right for me is to be what I want to be, with who I want to be, and where I want to be in the moment. And it's usually all about me being okay within myself. So, you know, again, there should be thousands of people listening to this right now. And, you know, at the end product, there probably will be many. But, you know, this is the time where I really feel that we really do see the power we are in every perceptual moment when we can buy that we are truly the masters of our universe and that we have the power to change anything, anything. And not by,
including,
you know... Go ahead.
Things, if we want to free ourselves, you know, everybody says, I want to be happy. Okay, so how do you go about it? One of the first things that you could do is by being real. We're talking about being real. Let's get back to relationships. So we're in a relationship, and we start seeing these little red flags, and we overlook them. And then we get full-blown into a relationship, and we complain about certain things. But if we become very, very real, it's not about putting blame on ourselves or beating ourselves over the head or blaming the other person. It's about having the strength, to put it plainly, the guts, to be truthful, to not be a liar. And a liar to yourself, because we become the biggest liars to ourselves before we lie to anyone else. And if we could say, I stayed in this relationship because I was afraid to have to go out and work. I stayed in this relationship because I was afraid I might not meet anyone else. I stayed in this relationship because, I stayed in a relationship because. See, if we start saying why we stayed in a relationship that we don't want to be in or that we want to change or everything else, we free the other person from having all kinds of responsibility. They could have been the worst person on the planet. But why are we there? Why are we there? And when we start analyzing ourselves, yes.
Right.
When we start analyzing ourselves, it's amazing. I mean, we could even start laughing at ourselves, like, oh, my God, yeah. Well, maybe I used to look out the window waiting for him to come home because I was afraid, because if something happened to him, then what happens to me? And the moment you realize that, you see yourself as really a selfish person, then you were more concerned about what's going to happen to you than to that person. I mean, these are all like revelations. You talk about revelations.
Right, and that's
we
beautiful.
We as human beings start becoming into revelations about why are we standing at a window waiting for that person to come home. We're concerned about that. Yes, we are. But look to see what's under it all. What else are you thinking and feeling?
Right.
And it's usually an extremely self-serving motive.
It's always self-serving, but... what's really interesting is that your perspective is profound, and I know a lot of people in my perceptual reality that could definitely use hearing that. Now, in my perspective reality, a lot of aspects of me that are showing up teaching me about what I'm feeling are showing me the opposite. They're showing me why they do not commit to relationships. They're showing me why they don't have the other person in their lives. And it's clearly the fear of being loved, you know, the fear of committing to being loved. And everyone in my perceptual reality right now is wearing, it's like a parade, and everyone's wearing the same parade. I love him, but he's not with me. I love her, but she's not with me. Why isn't she with me? I love her. Because you're not receptive to that relationship. Because for some reason, that closeness brings you into a state of claustrophobia, and you want it away from you, you know? It's so apparent to me that I've been doing that a lot of my life. The ones that I could get close to in my life until this moment where I feel like I know the one has always been about being with aspects of me that couldn't get close to me because I couldn't get close to them, you know, which is another side of it. You know, yes, you're with someone who's bringing you down, who's beating you, that's emotionally abusive, whatever, that's showing you how much you can't love yourself, and you have a right to leave them and know that you're all about you, like you're saying that, you know, I'm only doing this to preserve me and my drama and my whatever. But the other side of it is that I'm pushing you away. I'm with someone that can't love me, or I'm with someone that can't be with me, or I'm with someone that doesn't love me the way I should be loved, because I can't really accept that love within myself. But see, for me, I feel totally receptive now to that love. I have never felt more purely female in the receptive sense, not in the gender sense, that I am completely loving me, in me, the male in me, absolutely loves me more than life itself. And I am completely dancing in that because I understand now that it was always me that was pushing away the male aspect, the love nature, the completeness of being in a sacred union, you know. And, yeah, so I would blame it on his temperament and his attitude and his addiction and whatever, but it was still only me that was placing that in my way between me and the full evolution of being in love, you know? And so that's why I say those people in my life are messengers. Every man I've been with were teachers saying to me, you don't want to get close to me, do you? No, I don't. The fact was, no, I don't. I didn't. I wasn't ready to be loved the way I could be loved by me, you know? So that's the other side of it. But yet there are people in relationships now that are saying, oh, my God, if it's not for him, what am I going to have? And even though this is hell, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to wait for him by the window, like you say, because after all, when he shows up, it validates who I am. But even that aspect of us is telling itself, I can't be loved because I need another body to show up to feel okay about myself.
Yes, because it's soothing. It's soothing.
What,
it becomes soothing. No, because and it becomes soothing. Like you say, oh, that person loves me. I'm being soothed by it. And when you realize how, like you say, the love comes from you, and it's just something that you give. You don't really take it, although it's even given to you. It's about to be given. When I was about 12 years old, I had a girlfriend who was 5 years older, or perhaps a little older than that, because she was getting married. And then eventually she was older than I was. And there we were on her wedding day, and I was helping her get dressed, and she was so happy. And then I forget that I asked her a question. And I said to her, how do you know that he loves you more than you love him? Or do you love him? Is there any way? Basically, I wanted to know is if she knew she loved him more or if he loved her more. And it was kind of like, you know, kind of question like kids ask, why is the sky blue kind of thing? And she couldn't answer. She said she didn't know. And I was always curious about that. And the thing is that I knew the answer then for me. I said, gee, I'd rather love more. Because I know it feels really good to love, you know. So for me, it was like, it was kind of like it became easy. And I have to tell you that my entire life has been based on me loving. I'm not saying that I don't get the love back. And I'm not even saying remotely anywhere near that it doesn't feel good to get it. But what I am full of that keeps me afloat within myself, it's what I feel for others, because it's what I'm feeling for me, and then I just expand it, and it's expanded. And it's kind of like a bird, you know, flapping its wings, and it feels really good, so I keep flapping away and flapping away, and it includes everyone. And that sensation of loving, and it's what they call loving yourself. When you're really your best company, when you really enjoy yourself, when you're your best buddy, when you're your best girlfriend, boy, do you have a lot of people. You're never alone when you like yourself so much. Because a person like you, you could be far. Look how much I travel. We travel. We don't see each other. And yet we have a love. You know, so there it is. You know, we're constantly. And also love is such a word that I do know that there's some people when they hear it, they think we're just saying it like, oh, it's just a mushy thing, means nothing, oh, love, you know, whatever. But no, it is a very real feeling. I could talk to 20 women, let's say, in a day, and say to all of them, I love you, and I mean it. It's not just like, okay, you know, I love you, talk to you later, have a good day. No, there is such a strong physical feeling. An extremely, extremely strong physical feeling. But if you say, where does it feel? It's like almost like a balloon, like if your chest is a balloon and somebody's about to pop, it's filling it up. That's what it feels like when I say to someone, I love you. It's like I'm full. And then that's what comes out, like the air coming out of the balloon.
I feel it.
It's like a release. Yeah, like I love you. It's like it's releasing that beautiful, beautiful thing that you get full from speaking or seeing or remembering the person. It is a definite physical sensation. It's a sensation that you feel, yes.
It's definitely, the receiving is part of the giving in that, because I feel loved. You know, it's one thing to love, and I feel like I've been perceptually loving all my life as best I could in the body, you know. But I feel loved. I mean, loved beyond measure. And it's not about anything of this world. It's about the connection that I have in me that is designated by, again, the male coming into my life. And it actually taught me how to love myself so much that when I walk in that energy, it's like, it's so self-fulfilling. And that's why, you know, I think that, you know, Jesus, and I go back to him a lot because I really love a lot of what I was told he said, because I don't believe anything came directly from him. But the fact is, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, that we really feel completely fulfilled. Somebody said to me today that, well, you know, it's a being of this world, because I met a girl and she told me that, you know, she was told to meet me and that we're both spiritual, and, you know, after all, this world is really hard because, you know, we're always unfulfilled. And I said, I got to tell you, I just have to tell you that I have never been more fulfilled in my life. I have never felt more self-fulfillment than I feel right now, and it's not about any person, place, or thing outside of me. It's about having met within my state of acceptance, because I think that we have to really be in a state to bring in that which completely matches us and marries us in the true sense, you know. But to actually have that communion, and that it absolutely changes everything. And I think that's why, you know, the Sleeping Beauty concept that we hear of in nursery rhymes and the whole concept of, you know, I always get to, as a little girl, I remember writing this. And then when I had my creative writing class in college, I remember rewriting it. And I used to see myself in a castle, and I would see this knight on a horse below, just parading around in a circle, like dancing, demonstrating his you know, his ability to ride that horse. But he was riding that horse for me, you know, and I would be standing there, sitting there, beaming, because I would feel that my whole life was dedicated to that special moment where he was to appear and just perform for me, you know? And I feel it happen. I feel that I have met that in my life so deeply that I am, for me, so blessed, because I know that when I got that as a little girl and then as a in my, you know, whenever I went to college, whatever year that was, and got it again, and now I'm living it. And so the male aspect is always trying to better himself for the female. And so that's the physical body in the world trying to constantly give the female what she really feels worthy to receive. And, you know, that's about the whole concept of the prince and the princess and the Sleeping Beauty and the Princess Cinderella with the shoe. It's all about the perfect fit. And I feel like I've really become wholly one with that aspect of the mind and the heart and the spirit. And so that all I have to do now is emanate that, because the union is complete. And that union in me affects everything in my perceptual reality. You know, just lately, which I know you know, my son Anthony has been really by my side, almost like a knight. And I get really funky about this concept of the Arturian and the whole concept of it, you know, almost like a Camelot, where he's almost like the knight that has been given to me by the one to keep me in good order. And he's come to me and he's stroked me, and every day he supports me and acknowledges me and shows me the way. Because a female almost is like innocent. You know, I've become so innocent in my own right that I really don't know what's next. And so I've been given this part of me who's my son, how beautiful is that, to guide me in a direction that will lead me into my higher good. And it's like I sit in such complete ecstatic experience within my being, because I understand that this is such a gift that I've given myself, to have a son that is totally about inspiration, totally about creation, you know? And I say, this is all aspects of me out pictured. And it's about him. He says, I pay it forward now. He's come to realize that it's about pain. He's been so blessed in creation being realized through him that all he wants to do is pay it forward. And it's never about the gain. It's never about the surplus. It's always about, how can I teach them what I've come to realize? And I say, oh, my God, this is me out pictured in the mail. What a gift. And so, as I say, this night to me is almost like a night of celebration. Again, to have you here, Lydia, as the beautiful angel
thank
that you
love.
Are and, you know, is
thank
beautiful.
You, thank you so
and
much.
I really feel like it's a birthday, in a sense, because I really feel
mm-hmm.
you and I coming together in celebration of what we've
come
to realize.
But it is our birthday this year, isn't it? Isn't it our birthday
yeah.
this year? So it is
my
birthday.
Birthday.
This year. We all have a birthday this year. Love, I wanted to share with you. I know we get, yeah, it's all our birthdays. I want to share with you. I know we're coming to the end of the show as far as when you say about you know that you're loved. Because I have to say that I grew up feeling loved from my parents, you know, family, school, the teachers. So I never walked around feeling unloved. But the most amazing thing happened to me. When did I become aware of self-love? In other words, Lydia loving Lydia.
Right.
It was a moment in time when I felt it. And it came not from like, you know, that nice, cushy blanket feeling of everybody loved me. But it was the most amazing thing. It was like a flash of lightning when I realized all the difficult things in my life, how in spite of them all, I had survived them. I had known what to do to make myself, you know, happier or out of it or climb out of it or fix it or help others. And the moment I started seeing that, almost like a movie playing in my head, going back through my life, I was realizing I was feeling self-love. As if
that's
I
so
was the person that was loving me, as if I was my own parent, as if I was the person that knew how to do all the things for myself. And I have to say that for me, that was the reality at that moment. This is what self-love feels like.
That's beautiful. And, you know, for me, I didn't have it. I didn't feel the love from the father and the mother and the brother. I always had surrogates. So thank God I was always blessed with an aunt who adored the ground that I walk on. She took me on as a child and people that showed up that just gave me so much. But I was always about the giving from an early childhood, which I believe you were too. And I always felt that as I gave love that I was receiving it. Because I really, as I shared a lot, I was always an empath. I was always clairvoyant. I always clairsentient. I felt and heard everything that anyone was feeling about me and each other, you know. So I came to a lucky intent when I came into this reality, because I obviously came in with karma that was about, you know, walking through this shit. But I really feel that every relationship that I had with the males that I had and the females, which are vicarious, they weren't one-on-ones like I have with men, but were all stepping stones to the one that I really feel was the one that gave birth to the female that woke up Sleeping Beauty. And I really feel that it was so pure and innocent, and it was so not about the ego, and it was so not about gain and personalities, that it really triggered the response of such pure love. And that's the one in me that is united for eternity. And there's nothing that can change that. And why would I want to? Because that really is me feeling totally loved and accepted by me. And I think that you know, that's the key. And I think you really basically said that in different words, that when you come to realize that you've surmounted and you've overcome aspects of the life path that many still are struggling with, and not to say that's good or bad, that's just part of the evolution of their own consciousness, but to look back and say, my God, look how far I've come and what gifts I've given myself in the process. And it's such a beautiful, you know, awareness that you really, if we could do it, anyone can do it, you know. If we mm-hmm. could come as far as we come, everyone can come as far as we've mm-hmm. come. Because we've gone to physical maladies, we've gone to relationship maladies, we've gone to mental maladies, emotional, I mean, every sense of the word. And that we could actually hold our heads and our hearts wide open and say, we're there and we're good. We're good.
I say,
you know?
in spite of it all, here we're having a blast.
Right, and I'm so grateful,
I wonder if there's anyone else that wanted to come. Sorry, I wonder if there's anyone else that wanted to come on and share. Was there anyone
there
else?
There was a bunch of callers, and that way there's one more that's coming in. Let me just see if they want to. Hello, we have about 2 minutes left. Did you want to share something?
I just tuned in, so I'm just listening.
Okay, and the archives are still available, so you can check it out after the show. But thank you for calling. It really means the world to me that you did. And the number here, again, is 646-595-3440. We still have a couple of minutes left if you want to call in. Chat room is still open. And certainly you can call me in email, that is, anandraoflove@aol.com, to connect if you really want to share anything. Or if you have a question or you want to have a session with me, feel free. My site is mindmending.net, and there's a lot of good stuff there, which I got to activate a lot more. I realize I got so much stuff that's hidden that I got to bring forth. The show has been archived for the last couple of months, so every time you come on, you can hear the week before if you'd like to. And again, we do it every Thursday night at midnight. It's really Friday morning, but I like to say Thursday at midnight. It's kind of my favorite night of the week. And I want to thank you all for being here tonight. Again, I always say that I'm listening out loud, that I'm really coming to realize what wants to be made known through me, and speaking about it outward actually makes me hear it better, because that's the way I learn, I guess. And I thank you, Lydia, for being here tonight. I thank you for all the listeners that were here and that come back to listen to the archive. It's really, to me, a very, very beautiful space for us all to share the evolution of our own consciousness and our heart. I thank you all. I love you, my sons, my Johnny and my Anthony and my little boy Johnny and my Orson and Brandon and my Zach, who I love like my own. He's my baby.
Oh, we love our children and grandchildren.
Oh, we love them. And I love my Scott. You know, I love him with all my heart. He is really the one that awakened the Sleeping Beauty in me. And, you know, everyone who's listening, have a beautiful week, knowing that you are, in fact, the master of your universe, and you can change anything. How can you change it? Change that feeling tone. Love yourself more. Love yourself like you've never been loved before, and you will see miraculous change in your perceptual reality, starting with your own physical body. I love you. Have a great week, and looking forward to our next show next week at the same time. I love you. Good night, Lydia.
Good night, love. Good night, everyone.
Yep.